It's great to see you. You should have two things. One is the Feast of Israel Lesson 1, which is what we're on. We got a little further into that. We started into the Sabbath, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And then the second handout is the Feast of Israel Part 2. We're actually going to get into some monthly feasts, yearly feasts, and all of those things. You may not realize this, but last Wednesday evening was Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, which is the first day of the seventh month. We're going to talk about that. In fact, in your handout, in Lesson 2 on the very back, you have two handouts. You don't have to turn there. Well, you can. Go ahead and turn there for just a second. Look at the Feast of Israel, Part 2, two handouts. Look at the second one first, the very last one that says the Feast of the Lord. And if on the left side it says Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits, that all happens in March or April. And then there's the Feast of Weeks, which is sometimes called Pentecost. And then if you notice, it says Feast of Trumpets. That's a feast that just happened Wednesday night. In fact, Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock began Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the year, which is the Feast of Trumpets. And then they count 10 days after that, which will be, I've got a calendar, but I don't want to put it up right this second. We'll look at it another time. Is the day called Yom Kippur. It's on the 10th day of the 7th month of the Jewish calendar. And some people say Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur, which means the day of covering. And so just in about just a few days from now, that day will happen. And then from the 15th to the 21st, there's another celebration called the Feast of Tabernacles. Sometimes it's called Sukkoth, which means booths, and they live in booths. And so right now, even we just started our study, but right now there are three of the Feast of Israel, the yearly feast, going on in this month. And we had one last week, there'll be one this coming up week, and then just a few days after that there'll be another one. And so all three go together. So I just want you to see that. The other handout, you're welcome. The other handout, if you notice the other one on the white page, is very similar, the same thing, except it takes you across and shows you the first month, the third month, and the seventh month. But it also ties in how these feasts represent Christ and what Christ does. It's the Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruits, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, which is Rosh Hashanah, and then the Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles or Sukkoth. And those are so I've given you those handouts. We'll look at them as I go through the study. Every good handout that I can find that deals with the Feast of Israel, I try to get it and just hand it out to you so that it can tie it together. So we are in, you should have Lesson 1, Lesson 2, and we are in right in the middle of the feast, in what we call the Fall Feast, which are the seventh month, and there are three feasts there. I had a friend, and I'll probably tell this more details next week, but I had a friend who was Jewish, and he always told me, he said, it's always better to be Jewish than a Christian. And I said, well, I don't agree with that because I think in, you know, Jesus Christ. And he said, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we got a lot more holidays. You know, he said, we got a lot more holidays than y'all got. You got two or three main holidays. You know, you guys got, you know, Christmas and Easter, and then everybody gets 4th of July. But he said, we got at least 7. And that's not even counting, you know, Hanukkah and all the others as well. So I said, well, you got me right on that. You got more holidays. And so we'll see that. Let's go ahead and, if you want to, turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23. And we're just going to kind of review a little bit from last week, and we'll just kind of take us right on up to the Sabbath, and we'll see. That's what we started last week, and most people don't realize, but that's a holiday or a holy day, and we'll see how it fits together. Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll get into the study. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you again for our Savior Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the salvation that we have in Him. And Lord, we thank you for the Bible, how perfect it is, especially even the Old Testament, because we know that the Old Testament was written for our instructions. And Lord, as we study the feast days of Israel, the holy days and the holidays, we see that they actually tie together and are pictures and foreshadows of our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we know for the Jewish people, it pointed them back to what you had done for them, but it also pointed forward to what you were going to do. For us, Lord, we look back at it and we realize that the feast and the holidays and the holy days and all of those things in the Old Testament really are foreshadows and pictures and types of our Savior Jesus Christ, especially foreshadows and pictures. And so, Lord, we just ask you that as we continue our study of the feast days and the holidays and the Feast of Israel, that you would teach us and we would be able to see how this fit together. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you want to, go ahead and look at your Leviticus 23. Look at the very start. The nation of Israel has come. They They've come to Mount Sinai. They've got the law, and God has given them instructions and information. Notice Leviticus 23, verse 1. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations," means set apart days, set apart times. "My appointed times are these." So he says, listen, I want you to tell the people my special days, my special times that I want set apart for my people. And he starts off in verse 3, and he gives the very first one. He says, "For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath, a complete rest, a holy convocation." So really, the Sabbath day, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, is a holy set-apart day. He says, "You shall not do any work on the Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings." And then he goes on and says, "These are appointed times of the Lord, my convocation which you shall proclaim." And then he starts in verse 5, "In the first month on the 14th day is Passover." And then he gets on down and he goes all the way through these things. All the ones that we have listed, even the ones that are going on right now, if you are a Jewish person and you were not a Christian, but if you said, okay, I still am under Mosaic law, I still am trying to do this, then last Wednesday night was one of the most important days of your life, because it was the Jewish New Year, but it was also the Feast of Trumpets, which was a picture of gathering together, and the Jewish people on Rosh Hashanah would come together, and for 10 days, they call it, they've got different names for it, but it's supposed to be a 10-day time period in which you think about your life, your sin, what you're doing, because on the 10th day of that month, which is Yom Kippur, there's going to be a covering for sin. Or there's supposed to be a covering for sin. The only problem with the Jewish people, there's no temple in place to do it. We're going to see that in our study, that on Yom Kippur, there was a special covering that the priest did. And he would go into the temple. He'd go in there twice, in fact. Now, there is no temple, right? How did the Jewish people cover their sins? Well, on the 10th day of the 7th month, the observant Jews kill a chicken and swing him above their head, supposedly covering their sins for another year. They say, we can't go by the scripture because we don't have a temple to do it in. There's a reason they don't have a temple to do it in, because Jesus was the final sacrifice for sin forever. And they haven't grasped that. But anyway, we'll see it. So Leviticus 23 starts these things. If you remember, we talked about the law, that Mosaic law had commandments, ordinances, and judgments. And the commandments were the Ten Commandments. The ordinances were the sacrifices and the feasts. And the judgments were the social code. This comes under the sacrifices and the feasts. I brought it up last week that if you remember that the priesthood, the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the feast days, everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. I mean, the great high priest was a picture. Well, the high priest was a picture of the great high priest, Jesus Christ. The Passover lamb is a picture of Jesus Christ. All the feast days are pictures of Jesus Christ. The tabernacle itself is a picture of Jesus Christ. All the sacrifices, pictures of Christ. So all the way through, that's what's so amazing. And a lot of people don't like to study the Old Testament. And the truth is, there's some things in the Old Testament that'll slow you down. Right? It'll slow you down. But when you see the Old Testament as a picture, and if you see what it's saying, it is so beautiful. That's why the book of Hebrews, if you've never studied the book of Hebrews is basically showing how the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together. And the writer of Hebrews is showing that Jesus is better than anything in the Old Testament, because he's the fulfillment and the one that takes the place. And that's what makes that book so incredible. I don't know if you can put the slide up that shows the five sections. Oh, you've got it all right behind me. That's great. Yeah, this is the five sections that we're going to be talking about in our study. The weekly feast is called the Sabbath. We started that last week. We'll talk about it this week as well. The monthly feast is New Moon. If we finish, we'll go directly into the second lesson. And when we go into the second lesson, we'll skip a few pages, because the first part of the second lesson is actually sort of a review. And we'll get into that as well. There's a monthly feast called New Moon. Then there's the yearly feast. There's seven of them found in Leviticus 23. And that's the seven major ones. But there are also some yearly feasts that are found that aren't found. I'm going to get them later under special feasts and things, but there are other yearly feasts that they celebrate, such as Hanukkah. If you turn in the scripture, and you won't find anywhere in the scripture where it talks about Hanukkah, and yet, best we can tell from the scripture, that Jesus was in the temple at Hanukkah time, because see, Hanukkah was something that happened before Jesus was born. And so even though it's not biblical in the sense that it's found in the scripture, it is a celebration that the Jewish people celebrate right up to today. And we'll talk about that as well. There's their non-yearly feasts like the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee and those kind of things. And then we're going to look at some special feasts like the wedding and the bar mitzvah and a few other things. Like, you know, we'll look at Feast of Purim. We'll look at Hanukkah. We'll look at all those things. So the goal is sort of put this together and see how it comes about. There's a lot of great things there when you do that. Now, remember the Jewish calendar is based off the moon. A new moon is the start of a month. And then about halfway through a month, it's a full moon, and that's how they did it, and that's how they counted it off. Let's start again at the weekly feast, the Sabbath. This is where we got on it last week, but I want to go a little bit through it and get more details. Look at Leviticus 23:3. 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, the word Sabbath comes from Shabbat, and it means to rest. It's a rest day. God tells his people they're to work 6 days and rest on the seventh day. Now, in our culture, most people, I'm not saying everybody, but most people work Monday through Friday. They work 5 days, and then they have 2 days. As a whole, for a lot of people, they rest. Now, some people work every day. You know, some people have jobs that they work at different days. Some people work 6 days a week. But a lot of people say Monday through Friday. That's why everybody says, thank the Lord, it's Friday, you know, because I don't have to work. Because a lot of people look at their work as something they don't really like to do. Most people don't really, a lot of people do not like their work. And it makes my heart break for people who really don't like their work, because I think if you have a passion for what you do, work isn't even work. You know, you love it. And so the bottom line is that in our culture, most people go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we have Saturday, Sunday off. That's how we look at it. Some people work 6 days. They have retail stores and things like that. They work 6 days. Some people even work 7 days, and they alternate in and out. Jewish people were to work 6 days. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. So they were work Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then rest on the seventh day, which is what day? Saturday. A lot of people are confused, and they think that the Sabbath day is Sunday. Sabbath day is not Sunday. The Sabbath day is what day? Saturday. So if you're going to put yourself under a law, Mosaic law, then Saturday is your rest day. That's the day you can't do anything, or how the Mosaic law put it. Notice what it said. It said, 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath day of complete rest. Complete rest from what? From what? From work. It didn't say complete rest from anything. You know, the Pharisees took the Sabbath day and they said, you can't do anything on the Sabbath day. They even came up with how far you could walk on the Sabbath day. They came up with a rule that said this, that if you happen to be standing outside, this is their rules, and mud got on you. And you've heard me say this before. You could wait till it dried, and then you could hit three times. That's all you could hit to see if you could get it off. Anything more than three hits is working. Women could not work it. Look, the Jewish people, not the Mosaic law, not the Bible, but the rules that the Pharisees had made up, that a woman could not look in a mirror on the Sabbath day because she might want to fix her face or her hair, and that would be considered what? Working. They've got so, I mean, they said that man was made for the what? Some have a lot of work to do. Some do not have much work. Anyway, listen, this man was made for the Sabbath, or Sabbath made for the man? Was man made for Sabbath day, or Sabbath day made for man? Which is it? And the Pharisees said, no. Man was made for the Sabbath day. That's why they put man under these rules. So if you look at this, all it says is this. 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath day of complete rest. Rest from work. Work. A holy convocation. You shall not do any what? Work. It didn't mean you can't go do something. It's a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, the one thing I want you to see, it was a pattern. This thing was a pattern based off Exodus 20, that the Sabbath was made for man to have a time of rest. It was for man. In Exodus chapter 20, it says, man shall work 6 days and rest on the seventh, for in 6 days God created the what? Heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and on the seventh day he rests. Now, God doesn't get tired. He could create it all. And by the way, could God have created it all just by going everything? Why would he go day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six? Why would he do that? It's the pattern. He says, now here's what I want you to do. You work 6 days, rest on the seventh, because in 6 days, God created the heavens, the earth, and everything, and the sea, and everything's in them. And on the seventh day, he rested. It's for a pattern. Because we know this, that God didn't need 6 days to do anything. In fact, the big dispute people always arguing about, did God create the heavens and earth in 6 days? And people say, oh, it's thousands and thousands of millions of years. And some guy, I've heard some guys say, well, look, you know, my issue is not why it took him six, or did it take him 6 days or 6 million years. My point is, why did it take him any time at all? He could have just done that, and it's all created, you know. He just has to speak, and everything would be in at one time. So the Sabbath was made for man. Man was supposed to rest. Don't you like it when you don't have to? Let me say it this way. Do you like it when you don't have to go to work? Even if you love your work, don't you like it when you have a break? Because what happens if you don't have a break? No matter what you're doing, if you never stop doing it, you eventually say, I just can't keep doing this anymore. It's driving me crazy. I've got to have some kind of break. I've got to have some relaxation. I've got to have some recreation, which is recreation. That's what recreation is, to recreate yourself as you rest. And so God says, well, here's what you do. You work 6 days and you rest. The Sabbath was given to the nation of Israel. This is Mosaic law, by the way. The Sabbath day is not for the church, by the way. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. Man puts rules everywhere. Let's turn to Mark 27. Just flip over there real quickly. Mark 27. And you see what people do. I'm sorry, Mark 2, not Mark 27. Mark 2, 27. You're going, Mark 27. Debbie has lost it again, hasn't he? Or how many of you didn't know there's not a Mark 27, huh? Jesus says at the end of this passage, because they're getting on to him, because some of his men walked through the grain fields and they were taking some things and eating it, sort of like going through a field and getting some peanuts, getting something, you know, we're just getting something out of the field as we're going through. And they said, hey, you can't do that. They're harvesting on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, I think you lost your mind. Actually, he took them back to the Old Testament, what David did. But here's what he finally said in verse 27. Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. He said, don't you understand that this day, man wasn't made to connect with this day. This day was made for us. It's for our benefit. Luke 13, verse 14, synagogue officials were indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And they said this, there are 6 days which work should be done. Therefore, don't do that. Don't heal on the seventh day. And Jesus said, you hypocrites, that not each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and let them drink? Wouldn't that be working? They said, well, that's not working because you're helping the animal. He even used the example. He said, what if on the seventh day an animal falls in a hole? You going to let the animal die? No, you'll pull the animal out. Won't that be working? Well, that doesn't really count. No, of course it doesn't count. Of course it doesn't count. What about the Sabbath for us? Are we to observe the Sabbath day? Well, number one, we're never under the Mosaic law. So this aspect of the Sabbath, as far as the Mosaic law, is not for us. I've had people say that we need to keep the Ten Commandments. Do we need to keep the Ten Commandments? Not in the sense of the Mosaic law, Ten Commandments. Because 9 of the Ten Commandments are restated in the New Testament, called the law of Christ, which is the law of love. But there's one of the Ten Commandments that's not restated in the New Testament. Anybody know what it is? Keep the Sabbath day. Yeah. It's not restated. So we're never under Mosaic law. Second, there is confusion of many think that Sunday is the Sabbath. I've got to read you some things in just a second that you're going to be amazed by. Sunday is the first day of the week, not the Sabbath day. The Sabbath's the last day of the week. Sunday's called the Lord's Day. We worship on the Lord's Day. Why do we worship on the Lord's Day? Because Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week, which is the Lord's Day, we call it. So Sunday is not Sabbath. We could use the principle that you work and you rest. There should be rest days. We worship not on the Sabbath like the Jewish people. We worship on the first day of the week. I want to read something to you which will help you understand why some people who grew up in church, especially in the early part of the history of the United States, why some people are so confused on Sabbath day. They're so confused on church and religion and law and legalism. I want to read something to you. This is from Little House on the Prairie. This is Laura Ingalls Wilder writing in Little House on the Prairie. And this is what she says: when Grandpa was a little boy, what Sabbath or what church was like. Okay? When Grandpa was a little boy, Sunday did not begin on Sunday morning as it does now. It began in sundown on Saturday night. Then everyone stopped any kind of work or play. Supper was solemn. You see, you got to remember, this is the day before the what? They're thinking it's the day before the Sabbath. They see Sunday as a Sabbath day. And you remember, under the Mosaic Law, Sabbath day was a day that they turned it into a day of bondage. So here are Christians saying, well, Sunday is our Sabbath. So on Saturday night, getting ready for the Sabbath day, we stop. Supper was solemn. After supper, Grandpa's father read aloud a scripture from the Bible while everyone sat straight and still in his chair. Then they all knelt down, and their father said a long prayer. When he said amen, they got up from their knees, took their candles, and went to bed. They must go straight to bed, no playing, laughing, or even talking. Well, it's fun being a kid, wasn't it? Looking forward to church. Boy, church is going to be so fun, isn't it? Because it even starts the night before. You can't talk, you can't laugh, you have to sit up straight in your chair, and you have to go to bed as soon as supper's over. Sunday morning, they ate a cold breakfast because nothing could be cooked on Sunday. Then they all dressed in their best clothes and walked to church. They walked because hitching up the horse was work, and no work could be done on Sunday. They must walk slowly and solemn, looking straight ahead. They must not joke or laugh or even smile. Grandpa and his two brothers walked ahead, and their father and mother walked behind them. Now, if you're a child, Sunday and church is something you're really looking forward to, isn't it? That's horrible. In church, Grandpa and his brothers must sit perfectly still for 2 hours and listen to the sermon. They dare not fidget on the hard bench. They dare not swing their feet. They dare not turn their heads to look at the windows or the walls or the ceilings. They must sit perfectly still and never for one instant take their eyes from the preacher. When church was over, they walked slowly home. They might talk on the way, but they cannot talk loudly, and they must never laugh or smile. At home, they ate a cold dinner, which had been cooked the day before. Then all the long afternoon, they must sit in a row on a bench and study their catechisms until the sun went down and Sunday was over. I don't want to go to church if that's true, right? I don't want to go any of that. Are you glad that that's not what we're under? Jewish people weren't even under that. Now, they made themselves under that. The Pharisees put them in all the restrictions and the laws. But we've never been under anything like that. I think of Chariots of Fire, and we talked about it last week, when Eric Little refused to run on what day? Sunday, because he thought Sunday was the what? Sabbath, because the tradition of many churches and denominations and backgrounds of Christians is that Sunday is the Christian's Sabbath. And so we are under restrictions on this day that some people say, well, you really shouldn't go out to eat, because if you're going out to eat, you're forcing somebody else to work on the Sabbath. And you shouldn't play ball. It's probably wrong for the pro football players to play on Sunday. That's what some people believe. They believe that you shouldn't do anything on Sunday. Sunday's not the Sabbath. Yesterday was the Sabbath. And guess what? We're not under any restrictions on that day. In fact, we're not under any restrictions on any day. In fact, we are to rest and live for the glory of God. We worship on the first day of the week, and then what do we do after that? We work. I mean, we worship on Sunday, and then we work. Do we have time off? Should we have time off? Should there be some day that we have some time off? The answer is, of course. There is a principle of the Sabbath, and that is that people should work and rest and work and rest. That's his pattern. It doesn't mean that you're under a legalistic rule, which the Jewish people never were under anyway. The Pharisees put people under that. You can see why if you were a boy in that time, would you look forward to church? Would you look forward to worshiping God? Would you think that God was a fun God who loved you? No, you would say, you can't laugh, you can't play, you can't smile, you can't look away, you can't look out the window, you have to sit right there, you eat cold food, life is this way because that's how God is. Now, we are in great shape because Jesus died for us, paid for our sins, and rose again. And we celebrate on the first day of the week. We're not under legalism or laws. We come together as believers and we celebrate on the first day of the week. We are worshiping the living God on the first day of the week. And it's not legalism. We can go out and play sports on this day. We can do whatever we want to do. We can do anything you want because you're not under a law. You're under grace. So it's really powerful. Let me finish this chapter for us, or this lesson. We've seen God gave certain feasts to Israel, helped them remember the wonderful things of God, and the weekly feast, of course, the Sabbath day. Let me give you do you have a place for applications at all? You do? You do? First one is understand the feast. Okay, understand them. Because as we start going through this, you're going to see the Sabbath day and the monthly, the new moon one, and you're going to see the seven feasts and all these different things. We're going to see what they're for. What would be the Sabbath for? Why would God give a Sabbath principle? What's the whole principle? Rest. Don't wear yourself out. We all know what happens if you work and work and work and work and you never have a break. What happens to you? Okay, second one. Take time weekly to rest from your work. That's the principle. Focus on God. You know, some people say that, what if you worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? And then what would you do on Sunday? You can rest. You can come to the services and then go home and rest or do anything you want. See, I work. I'm trying to think when I work, if I do work. But I work Tuesday through Sunday. That's what I do. Monday's my day off. I take Monday off. I try not to do much on Monday. Sometimes I do things. But as a whole, when everybody goes, it's Monday, I go, I know. Yes. But then most people say, hey, I got the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. I never have a weekend. Unless I'm on vacation. I can have a weekend then. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think about the Sabbath day, Lord, help us to grasp it. Help us to see the feast and understand how they fit together, that they're actually foreshadows of Jesus Christ and from the Scripture. And may we have a great time as we look at all of that. And then, Lord, as we think the Sabbath day, which was given to the nation of Israel because they worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. Lord, we're not under that. We have never been under that. But there is a great principle that we're to rest, that we're to work and to rest and to work and to rest and have time to be, to have recreation and to gain back our strength. And to be refreshed. And so, Lord, thank you for the principle from your word. Lord, may we be men and women who seek to make an impact for Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, thanks. We'll get more next time.